Live from the American Gulf Coast, it's the Dave Nemo Show.
We always look forward to talking with friends, and we've got an old friend we haven't talked with in a while coming up on the program this hour. Bridget Blitch is joining us, of course. She is a partner at the law firm of Taylor & Associates in Florida. And Bridget does... Thank you very much. Bridget does a... How's that for a cue? Bridget does a series with us that has been really, really well received by you guys out there on the road. It's called Protecting Your Livelihood. And she takes a look at different aspects of trucking as it pertains to, well, what would happen if you wound up in court. Lots of times she looks, obviously, at the legal issues. And last month, because one of our listeners called and asked that she addressed dash cams, drive cams, that sort of thing, Bridget did a real, real good run-through on all of the legal ups and downs, ins and outs of the cameras. This morning, we're going to continue that discussion and bust some myths, too, surrounding drive cams. And the old friend that we haven't talked with in a while is Del Lisk with Lytics. So we got a lot to discuss, a lot of notes to go through, the who, what, when, where's, and why's, and we'll be right back with Bridget and Del in just a moment. Well, let's get rolling. Protecting Your Livelihood. Bridget Blitch is with us, a partner at Taylor & Associates in Florida. Bridget, good morning, and a happy belated Independence Day.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave. Good morning, and happy Independence Day to you, too. Great to be here.
And you've brought, we're going to continue, as I mentioned several times this morning, of course, continue the discussion on the dash cams, drive cams, and kind of getting away a little bit from the legal aspect of it, although that obviously plays throughout. But today we're going to kind of zero in on some of the advanced technology, and you've brought an old friend along.
I sure did, and it's such a pleasure and honor to have Del Lisk with us here this morning. And one of the things that I like to do when I get my cases is kind of peel back the layers of the onion, right, and really understand what we have in front of us. And what better opportunity to really understand this technology than through our special guest here from Lytics. And so, Dale, thank you so much for being with us here today.
My pleasure. It's nice being labeled an old friend. I hope you just simply mean we've been friends for a while versus being old, right?
Listen, at my age, ain't nobody old. I outrank everybody in that department, Dale.
Okay.
But for those who, when you and I have had some great discussions, of course, on the program, but that goes, it does go back a bit, and we have so many new listeners all the time. Kind of give us a little bit of your background, a little bit of the Lytics background, and then I know that you and Bridget have a lot to dig into.
Right, absolutely. So, first of all, of course, appreciate being on the show and hope everyone had a good Fourth. As far as myself, I have been involved with what I'll call driver safety, maybe as good a label as any. I've been involved with driver safety for a long time, well over 30 years now. And so for 21 years, used to run a company called Smith System, which I think, I know Dave, I know you're familiar with it, I'm sure Bridget and probably a lot of your listeners too, driver training company by the name of Smith System. So I was the president of that company, and I was there for 21 years. And then in 2003, my last year at Smith System, bumped into this funky little piece of technology at a conference that was called DriveCam. And so we sold Smith System to a private group back in 2003, and then about 9 months later, I joined DriveCam in the summer, actually just after the summer of 2003. So I have been involved with DriveCam, which is a camera technology, putting it, you know, very simply, that's the very basic element of it. But I've been with that company now since 2003, so it's, what, been 14-plus years. So I've been involved with fleet safety for over 30 years. That's really my background in terms of what I've been involved with.
Dell, and I think most of our listeners would be the first to say that when it comes to driving technique, driving instruction, if you will, the Smith system is the gold standard of professional driving, no question about that. So that background is really solid. Bridget, how did you and Dell meet, and how did you guys start collaborating, I guess, in terms of some of the cases you work on?
Yeah, so following last month's segment, what prompted me to go a little bit deeper here with this issue is we had a caller, Shoemaker, come in and give some really good insight about his perspective and others of our audience perspective on this advanced technology that is the event recorders that are in the cab. So I actually reached out to the folks at Alytics and said, you know, I'd really like to give our audience the opportunity to understand how this technology works, because I think that it's really important if you're going to use this technology, and as we talked about in the last show, how it really helps us in the courtroom and even outside of the courtroom, that we want to give that same opportunity to our audience to understand all the features of this advanced technology. So I reached out, and they were kind enough to share our time with me this morning and with us this morning. And so with that, I wanted to just kind of have Dale really go into the details of what is this advanced technology, and kind of showcase his experience, and I'm going to tie in some of my legal experience as we go along in the show.
Before you do that, Dale. No, go ahead, Dale.
Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say very quickly that before we're on a little bit of a delay, you know, that CNN delay when they talk to Afghanistan. So that's why that happens. Apologies for that. But let me just go ahead and continue then. Bridget, we're in the 21st century. Why is it important to embrace 21st century technology when it comes to what you do in representing trucking and truckers in court? Can you mount the a sufficient defense using 20th century ideology or techniques when the 21st century stuff is out there? Is it a little frustrating for you sometimes that folks do not embrace that? And then, Dell, I'm going to ask you almost the same question. But go ahead, Bridget.
Yeah, so from my perspective, I love it when I get a case and the one of the first questions I ask, and this could be a catastrophic defense, or it could be something as we're protecting our safety scores and our record, and we want to do a challenge a DOT violation. So in both of those scenarios, when I have the technology available to me, it gives me the information and the evidence that I need to support our defenses. So from a catastrophic defense in the litigation, we've got evidence there to show that the driver took the proactive steps, the right steps, was not negligent in operating the commercial motor vehicle. So we are able to capture that via video recorder. And so from that perspective, it is a great tool, because otherwise, we, as we talked about in the last segment, we've got to bring in our accident reconstruction experts, we bring in our human factors experts, and we start getting very technical in terms of recasting the accident, whereas having this technology actually gives it their right to the jury. From a DOT perspective, where we are challenging the safety scores, and the burden, unfortunately, is on us to show that we did not commit a commercial motor vehicle violation. Here again, we can use that technology. So not as a significant or serious of a scenario, but still all the more important to protect our record and demonstrate that we were adhering to the law.
Bridget, thank you very much. Now, Dell, again, we have that bit of a delay between our voices, but you were going to say something, so let me let you take off with that, and then we'll just continue to move on.
Yeah, so maybe just maybe if I can cover two things. One is just a real quick, I'm trusting, Dave, should I explain kind of how the DriveCam program works, or are we going to kind of evolve into that in the conversation?
Go ahead and do that now. I think that would be a good place to start, yeah. Actually.
Okay, yeah, so, and I'll just at a very, very high level, but so technologies like ours, and of course there's different variations, but I'll speak kind of generally. So we have what, as Bridget referred to, as an event recorder, and we very specifically use that name because the idea is it's capturing just little segments of video. It's not continuously capturing and saving video. But this device is typically mounted at kind of the top center of the windshield, and it's capturing video in front of the vehicle. And in most cases, also capturing video within the cab of the vehicle. And it's evolving where, you know, companies like ours are also going to be able to capture video alongside to the rear. It's all evolving that direction. But the technology is continuously recording, but just like a DVR, all it's really doing is just recording and overwriting itself. So it's not actually saving any video, but it is continuously sensing the road conditions in terms of speed, changes in force, those sorts of things. And when something happens that meets a threshold of the trigger settings, such as maybe hard braking or a sudden swerve, it's going to cause the device to save a few seconds before that moment of sudden change and then record a few seconds afterwards. And that short little video clip, which might range anywhere from 12 to 30 seconds, depending on the provider, that short video clip is then sent to a secure server where in our business model, where a team of our people that are trained to look at these are essentially reviewing the video and just looking at both our standards, which definitely have a lot of crossover with kind of Smith System safe driving expectations, as well as the expectations the client has given us in terms of what's important to them. And so we're analyzing that video and really assessing it for either positive recognition, maybe the driver did something really outstanding during that time, or identifying something that might be potentially risky, that becomes an opportunity for that manager and driver to view the video to understand what occurred and how they can become better. So just like, I have two kids that play high school football, and they play on Friday, and then on Monday they all get together and, you know, get together with the coaches, and the coaches play game tape of what happened last Friday, and each group, you know, the O-line, the backfield, the defensive DBs, all that sort of thing, they each break up into groups and they analyze their video clips, and the coach is kind of guiding them to understanding what they did and are there ways they can get a little bit better. And that's exactly what this technology is about. First and foremost, in my opinion, it is the opportunity for even the best driver to kind of identify maybe subtle little flaws they weren't even aware of that can help them to become better the next time, to improve their chances of not having to require Bridget's help, you know, due to having a collision or something down the road.
We're going to take a real quick break right here, and it's called Protecting Your Livelihood. Bridget Blick, a partner at Taylor & Associates, is with us, and Dell Lisk from Lytx is with us this morning. And, of course, as always, the phones are open, 615-292-6366, and we'll be right back. Protecting Your Livelihood, Bridget Blitch, partner with Taylor & Associates, gets together with us every first Wednesday of the month. And this morning, Dell Lisk is joining us as well from Lytx. Bridget, we heard Dell kind of walk through some of the technology and the methodology that is used behind the scenes, so to speak, and we'll get to more of that here. When do you fit into that picture? Say you have a driver who is being sued and or prosecuted for something that he is contesting because he's got a camera and he knows what's up, and he The data is there at, say, Lytics. Where do you enter that picture, or do you enter that picture?
So a couple things with that information that gets collected, it becomes one of an assessment of liability. So what liability does the motor carrier have with respect to that accident? It becomes a component of your defense analysis, that is your case analysis. But if I could even take a step back from that, with the information that gets collected from these event quarters and gets assessed, we can even do an intervention before an accident happens. And this comes into play oftentimes where motor carrier companies are looking to renew or write a risk from a auto liability perspective. So if the insurer is going to look at this information, and we as corporate counsel, outside counsel, also look at this information to target what we need to do to become a safer motor carrier and a safe driver. So we can use that both as an intervention tool well before the accident happens, and also in our defense of a case.
Well, let's take a call here real quick. And Noel is with us in West Virginia. And Noel, you're on with Bridget and Dell now.
Hey, thank you, Dave. First time caller, buddy. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I just want to make a comment for your guest. We actually have, I'm with an LTL carrier, and we actually have the Drive Cam product in our units. We've had them for probably a couple years, maybe. And there just seems to be, I've heard a lot of comments on, you know, callers on this channel, calling drivers calling in and saying, well, I don't want those in my truck, or they're watching everything I'm doing, or mine went on for 2 hours. They were watching everything I'm doing. And nothing could be farther from the truth, from everything I understand. It seems like there's a lot of ignorance of the drivers of actually how the cameras work. We have them, and, you know, they've taught me to be more conscientious about little things that I do. And it's really a teaching tool. It's a teaching tool. And we've also had drivers who have been involved in incidents, and our company was actually taken to court. And through the video, they've shown that our driver was not at fault, that the other car, you know, lost control, or it was the other vehicle's fault, you know. So I think they're a good thing, but it just seems like there's a reluctance for drivers to accept them or want to deal with them, you know, because they just don't have a lot of information, I think.
Hey, thanks, Noel. It's good. It's I appreciate your nice comments there. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, Dave. I think one of the biggest challenges about the acceptance of this technology is really just understanding what it actually is and what it isn't. And whether, I think one of the shortcomings sometimes when a company takes on a solution like ours is sometimes they don't really get the full communication out there to kind of answer the questions to drivers up front about what it is, how it works, what it isn't, you know, what it means to them. And just like anyone else, when something new like a camera comes into the cab of the vehicle, unless you're told differently, it's only natural to be kind of overthinking it and thinking it's something more than it really is. So I think Noel really, I think, fleshed out one of the most critical issues, and that is just really good communication within a company that's taking on technologies like this.
Noel, thank you so much for calling, and thanks for being with us. And you're a first-time caller. Don't make this the last time. We'd love to hear from you anytime.
10-4.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much. That's Noel.
Thanks.
Bridget, Dell, we are so close to the bottom of the hour news break that we'll just cut things right here. When we come back from the break, though, Dell, one of the things that we're going to talk about is the data itself, what data is collected. And it goes to a control center, and the risk is calculated on a numeric scale. Maybe you could talk through that scale. Is it 1 to 10? Is it 1 through 100? And then where does that, after that data is kind of massaged through the system, so to speak, where does it land, and then what is done with it, and how is it used? So how is it ranked? How is it transmitted? Who sees the information? And I guess if we could counter Noel's point, what about hacking? Our computers here at Radio Nemo were hacked over the weekend, believe it or not. Little old us. And we're not even the DOD or FBI, and they're hacking us. So that is a concern, and how do you handle that? We'll be back.
Back to the Dave Nemo Show.
And we'll get back to our callers here in just a moment. But as promised, well, first off, let me just say that if you're just joining us, this is a segment we call Protecting Your Livelihood. And Bridget Plitch, who is a partner at the law firm of Taylor & Associates, is kind enough to be with us on the first Wednesday of each month. Usually going solo, Bridget, but this morning you've brought Dell Lisk from Lytx in with us.
I sure have, and it's a pleasure to be here and to be with Dale and share this really great information with our audience.
One of the things that the trucking industry is, the world is obsessed with what is known as big data. In fact, in terms of autonomous vehicles, which I guess, Bridget, you'll be dealing with in court before way too long, it's about data, trying to compile, extrapolate, and utilize as much data as possible. Data is learning for the, it's a learning tool. It's the learning tool for, say, the autonomous vehicle. How is data, and you've already talked about this, Dell, but data is recorded, it's sent to a control center, and then risk is ranked on a numerical scale. And I'd like you to kind of walk through how that process works. Is it 1 to 10? Is it 1 to 100? And then I'll ask Bridget how that plays into what she does on behalf of truck drivers and trucking companies. So, Dell, take it away there and kind of walk us through the risk ranking procedure.
Thanks, Dave. And so let's start with the data that's collected. Obviously, there's the exception-based video that's collected and sent to us. Along with that, with ours, it generally does include audio. So there may be, you know, audio information, horns, et cetera, that kind of thing, air brakes, skidding, those noises. But then also data like such as speed, road conditions, traffic conditions, location, daytime, type of vehicle. Those are some of the examples of the data that's being collected and kind of aggregated. So when that data and that video comes to our reviewer, they have a playbook that very clearly kind of spells out how they make decisions about what they're looking at. And so when they look at a video, they're looking to determine, you know, was there something of risk in there? And they use the criteria from our playbook. Excuse me. And so when they do assess it, let's say, for example, that a driver was maybe a driver was falling asleep behind the wheel, and certainly hope that doesn't happen. Well, if they're identified as falling asleep behind the wheel, that particular risky issue has a certain point assignment to it, which is, and naturally, that would be a pretty high severity type incident. So that one would, for example, be a 10-point event. If a driver was instead maybe just following a little too close, you're not tailgating, but below the client's recommendations, that would be a lower threshold. That might be about 3 points. So for each of these different types of behaviors that have been viewed in the video and verified through our playbook, each one of those have a point assignment to it. And so each event has not only a kind of analysis of what occurred in the event, but it also has a point assignment with it. That data is then used. Different clients look at it in different ways, but we give the clients a view of how does this driver compare to the others within their location. How does this driver compare to others within their company? How does that particular group compare to others in the industry, kind of benchmarking? So there's a lot of different ways to take that data and glean a better understanding about it.
Bridget, some follow-up from your side of the equation here.
Yeah, so just following up on what I mentioned earlier is that from the risk management perspective, this information is very important for operations. It's important for the drivers. We want to be compliant with DOT regulations. We want to make sure that we're doing everything possible to be safe on the roads and safe with our operations. So we can really use this information and harness this information to improve us internally. So I'm always like starting from before the accident happens, let's use this technology to all of our benefits and hopefully mitigate our risk, right? Because we don't even want that accident to happen. We want to catch those behaviors before the accident occurs or before that even risk happens, and we don't take that chance. So having the benefit of this technology gives us an insight view before the bad event happens. And so that's critical, number one, from my first perspective. And then second is having that technology and being able to use it again from a defense perspective in the courtroom and being able just to show here is the video of what happened and what transpired.
We're going to take a call. Oh, go ahead, Dan.
One item here.
Yes.
Yeah. Just one kind of clarification, because it's so easy to become fixated on kind of a driver's mistake. That really isn't what this tool is all about. So the data that I described that creates stack ranking, what it generally shows is 80 to 90% of the drivers are performing at or above expectations and are excelling. In my opinion, the best of our clients use that data to really promote and recognize those particular drivers. So I just don't want to forget. I don't want to set kind of a tone that it's catching the mistakes. It really, more so, I think, is fleshing out the really exceptional drivers, too.
Jay is with us, guys. Jay is in Arizona, and he's got a question for you, Bridget. Jay, good morning. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, Dave, and happy belated Independence Day to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have a question as far as, and now, I don't know if this question's been answered in the past. Maybe last month. I wasn't listening to the show last month. But so you've got the drive cam, which, from what I'm understanding, that automatically uploads the information, you know, should an event happen, correct?
Correct.
Okay. From a legal standpoint, if a driver is involved in some sort of an accident, and if they don't have the drive cam, so to speak, but they have a dash, you know, a commercial dash cam that they buy, say, a truck stop, how is that handled, or is it any different as far as the representation of the driver if it picked up the incident? And I'm talking like a dash cam that would have a view of both the road and the driver.
Sure, Jay, and good morning. That's a great question, and thanks for bringing that up. In the courtroom, it's going to come down to evidentiary rules, and those rules are going to look at, is it reliable and is it authentic, basically meaning to the court that it captures what it purports to capture and that it's reliable information. So as long as we can set the foundation, is what it's called, to introduce that video we will look to seek to admit, as just as we would with any other advanced technology.
Did that answer that for you, Jay?
Yeah, I think it did. I guess the only other question I have, and so basically it doesn't have to be directly linked to some sort of network like the drive cam is, right? As long as it's authentic information, it can be used in the courtroom, should it be.
Right. So your defense counsel that gets assigned when an accident happens is going to go from nuts to bolts, everything about your equipment to whether you have an in-cab camera, and capture and get all that information immediately following the accident. And so that's one of those technologies that's going to be looked at and make sure that information is preserved for future use in the defense of that case.
All right, Jay, thank you so much for bringing up a couple of important points there. Bridget, thank you. Dell, let's get back to the data again. And one of the things that we do need to talk about is the hacking potential and the concerns that folks have. In fact, I think if anybody has any concerns, hacking has got to be at least number two, if not number one. What can you say about that issue? And I'm sure you've heard this from drivers.
Yeah, I have, Dave. Thanks, Dave. And so it's a very rational question. And I think primarily from a driver perspective, I believe it's the kind of the fear that a video of them could be posted on the internet or something like that, which would be embarrassing to them. So ourselves and certainly companies like us take that issue and the security of the data very, very seriously. And I will first admit that I am not an IT specialist or something, so I'm not going to be talking about, you know, WEP or WPS protocols, et cetera. I just trust the ones that put those security protocols in place that they're rock solid. You had mentioned earlier when you were checking out on the we were leaving for the halftime news there, you mentioned the Department of Defense. Well, our camera system is actually used by the U.S. Embassy at their various embassies across the world, and that includes the Department of Defense that is assigned to those embassies. So we have literally had the Department of Defense test to try and hack into our system because they wanted to make sure it was entirely secure, and they were not able to hack into it. So we take security very seriously, and it has the best available in that area. So it's secure, and only people with a proper password authorization have the ability to access the video.
We'll take a quick break right here. Protecting your livelihood. Bridget Blitch is with us, of course, partner at Taylor & Associates. Dell Lisk from Lytics is with us. And when we come back, we'll head up to Wisconsin for another call. Dave Nemo with you. Bridget Blitch is with us from Taylor & Associates, Dell Lisk from Lytics. And let us head up to Wisconsin as promised. And Kirk is with us on the line. Kirk, good morning. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Dave. Dell, question. Without a triggering event, you know, does a carrier have the ability to access the feed from these cameras?
Dell? Did we lose Dell?
Hello?
Hello, Dell.
Hey, I'm sorry, Dave. The curse to the mute button there. My apologies, Kirk.
You know, that happens more often than you might think around here.
going back to that old part of Friend that we started off the call, off the show with. Hey, Kirk, anyway, really good question. But with our technology, it does not have the ability for someone to, you know, either remotely trigger an event or look in live or any of those capabilities. So if an event was not triggered, there is not going to be any video later available for someone to look at.
Okay, that's a common misconception, because that's the point where you cross over from a teaching tool to a spy cam.
I agree with you. I completely agree with you.
So that's a pretty cut and dry, simple answer then, right, Dell? The answer is no.
It is, but Kirk's also right in that that's such a common misconception. So it's a question, and I appreciate people asking me the question, because the worst is someone that's thinking that that's how it works, but never asks the question, because the myth continues, you know, unless the question is asked. So I appreciate Kirk bringing that one up.
Thank you very much, Kirk. And let's continue to Pennsylvania. Long Island Mike with us on the line. Hey, Mike, good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to get right to it. my questions along the lines of Kurt's. But what really bothers me is it's been explained to me that it starts filming 10 seconds before the event, 10 seconds after. The camera can't go back in time. So that means it's filming 24/7. So we're always going to be worried that that camera could be tapped into by somebody.
Right, Mike. I think you brought up another one that is a common question for drivers. So it is not, well, what it is doing, think of it this way. And again, this is really how a DVR works in your home if you have a DVR. With our camera system, and again, every system is going to be a little bit different, so I'll just speak in general to ours. Think of the camera as having roughly about a 30-second loop, and it's capturing video on a 30-second loop. If there's nothing unusual that happens, in other words, there isn't sudden braking, a collision, a swerve, something like that, it just records that 30 seconds and continually is erasing the first few seconds of that on a continuous feed. So that is on a chip that is not saving it. It's just 30 seconds. And then when something happens, like maybe you had to jam on the brakes hard because a deer ran out in front of you. Well, when you jam on the brakes with our technology, once that triggering force occurs, it'll cause our device, depending on the client, to save either the prior 10 seconds or the prior 8 seconds before that triggering moment. So that's the farthest back ours can go, is 10 seconds before that moment that an event is triggered. I hope that answers the question.
So he's correct in that it is recording 24/7, 365. But at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you can't go back to see what happened at 10 o'clock that morning because it just doesn't exist anymore.
That's exactly right.
So Long Island Mike, hopefully that answers your question. Thank you so much for calling. Before we run out of time, I want to get back to you, Bridget. There's about a list of 7 things that you sent over where DriveCam can help a driver. Maybe highlight some of those for us, and this kind of brings it right back to your world.
Yeah, and I'd love to get Dale to give his feedback and thoughts on this as well, but I get a lot of calls from drivers and from motor carrier companies where certain violations have occurred, and they want to know, can we challenge this violation? And so I'm going to run through some of these, and these are probably the most common ones that I get from a week-to-week basis. And that's anything from failing to obey a traffic control device. Say, for example, a driver goes past a weigh station and they say the light was green and the officer pulls them over and says, no, you needed to stop and go in. Another common one is failure to wear a seatbelt, the use of a handheld device, speeding in a construction zone, or failure to obey the speed limit. And then another common one, of course, is the left lane restriction. So, Dale, maybe if you could give some insight on the technology that's available to drivers and whether it can help or if there's any features available to drivers to help on these particular citations.
Yeah, it's interesting, Bridget, because this kind of goes back to sort of a question that Long Island Mike had. As I had mentioned, with a technology like ours, it's exception-based. And so because it is not continuously saving video, you don't have the ability to go back and disprove a false claim that you weren't wearing your seatbelt or that you were in the wrong lane or something like that. And that's kind of the trade-off is, you know, it's not Big Brother because it isn't continuously saving video, but because it isn't continuously saving video, it has less opportunity to protect you with these sorts of situations, but I think most drivers prefer that trade-off. However, there is the ability on devices like ours for the driver to manually trigger it. So we have lots of drivers that will manually trigger an event at various times where they are concerned otherwise that that they might have been falsely accused. So, for example, in a construction zone, they might... And if they, because of construction, if they have to move into a different lane, they might even just manually trigger an event. So just it just out of concern that potentially an officer might pull them over for being in the wrong lane when they really had no choice. So that manual button is one tool. The other piece, and this is really just on the speeding issue, our technology will trigger both the data capture and it will trigger video if the speed exceeds either the posted speed limits by typically it's 10 miles an hour or over whatever a company's preset maximum speed limit is. So it could be possible to try and fight a speeding ticket by using our technology to show that no event was triggered. That could be another possible way to defend against what might be potentially a false claim.
And I think that's so critical because, and Dave, like we've talked about when we do data queue challenges, for example, we're having to convince the state analyst that we were in the right. And so what better tool if we are able to enable that feature to present that to the state analyst to show that we didn't violate the law in those instances?
Got it. Understood. I'll tell you what, we were just about out of time here. So, Dale, what did we miss quickly that you'd like to get across? And then, Bridget, I'll ask you the same thing briefly.
Yeah, I think for me, maybe it's just the general theme that, I mean, a tool like this is, obviously, it's driver protection. I think all a driver really hopes for is a fair shake if they get in a crash. And unfortunately, you know, without having access to video, the finger is generally pointed to the truck driver if they don't have rock-solid evidence proving otherwise. And then there's that other piece. Even the best of drivers can get better. And so the video really can be a powerful tool to help professional drivers become the best professional drivers they can possibly be.
Thank you, Dale. And Bridget, anything that you'd like to bring to bear that we missed here?
Well, I just wanted to say I think that this was great information and hopefully answered a lot of the questions that our audience has regarding the use of the event recorder technology and how it can be so helpful from us from a risk mitigation perspective to defending a case in the courtroom. So we really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for being with us as always, Bridget. Looking forward to, our August edition of Protecting Your Livelihood. Bridget Blitch, a partner with Taylor & Associates. Dale Lisk with Lytics, thank you so much. And we certainly hope to talk to you again soon.